Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Inside the FLX. I'm Josh Durso, and as always, we are coming to you from the FingerLakes1.com studio in downtown Seneca Falls. We have an incredibly exciting show today as Republican Senate candidate Pam Helming joins us in studio to talk about her upcoming race for the 54th District and as well the Finger Lakes. Pam, thanks a lot for coming in.
Josh, thank you for having me this afternoon.
So tell us a little bit about, obviously you have been representing the region for quite a while now. Talk to us a little bit about your background and how you sort of got into the political scene.
Okay, I've been in the political arena for about 16 years. I started in the town of Canandaigua on the Zoning Board of Appeals. I was a chairperson for a number of years, moved on to the planning board before running for the town board. And then, of course, you know the rest of the story. From the town board, I became the town supervisor, and I also serve on the Ontario County Board of Supervisors. My interest in town politics started when I was concerned about things that were happening in our local community. I wanted to be sure that my children someday would have an opportunity to live in the beautiful community that I enjoy. So there were some things that I wanted to see changed, and I decided to take a step forward.
So obviously a big part of your political background is being supervisor of Canandaigua. Talk to us a little bit about what that sort of journey specifically has been like for you.
The journey has been incredible. I was elected town supervisor in 2013. I'm in my third year as a supervisor, and as I said earlier, as a member of the Ontario County Board of Supervisors. The town of Canandaigua is a very unique town. It's, you know, encompasses very rural areas. We have lake frontage, probably more lake frontage than any other community in Ontario County, 10.3 miles. We have a variety of issues, and we have an incredible team who works together on a number of issues with the town. One of the things I'm very proud of is how we've created an open and transparent government, and we've done that primarily by sharing information and by incorporating citizens' groups into our everyday decision-making process.
Now, that's something when you talk about citizens groups, that's you're speaking the language of the people. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear transparency. Now, what was that one of the driving factors for you choosing to even consider running for the 54th Senate District?
Yes, it was a factor in considering running for town supervisor and for the 54th Senate District. At the town right now, one of the things we've done to increase transparency and open government is I make sure before every single board meeting the week prior to it, all of our agendas, resolutions, supporting documentation, monthly financial reports, any contracts under consideration, they're posted on our website. Residents have an opportunity, or anyone who's interested has an opportunity to receive automated email notices that the information's available, and we put everything on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So people can review the data, they could make informed decisions about whether or not they want to comment on a project. And I think that's key for the Senate as well, to not only get out the good news, if you will, like, hey, I'm awarding you $500,000 for a grant, but also to get out what are the facts, what's really happening behind the scenes. I serve on the Intercounty Association of Western New York. It's comprised of 19 upstate counties. We meet monthly to talk about upstate issues, and we also have someone from the New York State Association of Counties who provides an update on what's happening in the Assembly, what's happening in the Senate, both from a legislative standpoint and also from a budget standpoint, and I find that extremely helpful, and I would like to offer that to the citizens of the 54th District.
Now, you said something in there that really I think a lot of people think about on a regular basis, the downstate-upstate sort of divide. What is your sort of, or what I guess would be one of the things that you could do to help kind of heal that? Because we are one state, we do have to all work together. Is there something specific that can be done, or is it sort of systemic, larger brushstrokes that have to be worked on?
I think it's probably both. I think there are very specific things we could do. We can begin to talk to each other, again, communicate the issues, involve the citizens more, in through advisory committees, in the decision-making process. We can get citizens to put more pressure on all of the senators. And again, we can support senators who will support the upstate values and the upstate priorities.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things you mentioned a couple minutes ago was the concept of representing rural communities. And that, I think, is one of the Mainframes, one of your competitors, has talked about it a few times. I feel like that is one of the things around here people are going to wonder. Talk to us a little bit about your experience representing rural communities, but also kind of the mindset you'll take going into November if you're elected.
Okay. So when it comes to representing rural communities, I'm very proud of the work that we've done in the town of Canandaigua. And in many ways, I think the town of Canandaigua is very similar to so many of the communities throughout the 54th Senate District. In order to preserve our rural roots in the town of Canandaigua, we've worked together with property owners, business owners, and farmers, and we've created what's called the Pettiford Brook Greenway Plan. It encompasses 10,000 acres. 8,500 of those acres are prime agricultural soils. And again, we've created this greenway to protect these soils without using any taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. It's all by working with the citizens and getting buy-in from the taxpayers. So I'm very proud of that. That type of thinking, out-of-the-box thinking, I think I will bring to Albany. On the other hand, the town has also utilized grant monies. We work together with existing agencies like Finger Lakes Land Trust, and working with a local farm family after a very complete vetting process. In 2015, farm family in the town of Canandaigua was awarded a $2 million grant for the purchase of development rights. So over 600 acres will be preserved forever for farming. And I think it's critical. Farming and agribusinesses generate so much in revenue for our community. They provide us with food that we need. We absolutely have to protect our farmers and our farming community. And honestly, that's one reason why I'm running. The agriculture, the Finger Lakes, this district encompasses so many of the Finger Lakes, a portion of Lake Ontario, etc. Again, those areas are significant revenue-generating resources for this community, in addition to providing fresh drinking water and the food that we need.
Mm-hmm. And one of the issues that has been really prominent over the last several months and years are environmental-specific issues. I'm thinking of protecting Seneca Lake, the various landfill debates and issues that are mm-hmm. happening in the region. What is your sort of take on the outside originally representing Canandaigua, but then now that you're in this race, has your perspective changed, or have you looked at different things, or what's your thought process on that issue?
I would not say that my perspective has changed. I've always been pro-environment. Mm-hmm. I would say, if anything, you know, again, I go back to the town in Ontario County and how we do a great job at driving growth and development at the same time preserving our natural resources. I don't believe that you have to choose one over the other. I believe that you can do both. Mm-hmm. And as far as the landfills, the 54th Senate District, I think we have more than our fair share of landfills.
Yes.
And I think I spent 9 years in the waste industry. I was an environmental auditor. I covered a territory that extended from north of Malone, New York, out to Jamestown, down to McKean County, Pennsylvania. I audited landfills, waste transportation companies, recycling centers, and transfer stations. So I think those skills that I have would help us tremendously.
Some might say you are
district.
Very uniquely qualified to right. be looking at this issue. Obviously, there are a lot of others. One of the common talking points in the region is that taxes are going in the wrong direction, or, you know, it's not suitable for businesses to come here and do business. What is your sort of mentality with taking on the whole tax issue?
Okay, so I would say on taxes, if we want to attract new business, if we want to build our taxable base, what we have to do is change our business climate. And there are two pet peeves of mine: regulatory red tape and the unfunded mandates. If you look at the budgets of all six counties in this district, you're going to find that the unfunded mandates account from anywhere between 90% and 99% of the budgets. That means that the counties really have little control over reducing spending. So as a state senator, one of the things that I would do is stop supporting unfunded mandates. Vote no, or don't even let the issues get out of committee. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my understanding that the senators agreed to a bill passed that they would pass on no more unfunded mandates. But I got to question it, because that bill was passed after the budget was adopted, mm-hmm. after the budget that was loaded with additional unfunded mandates. So reducing unfunded mandates and cleaning up the regulatory red tape. I have one business in the town of Canandaigua right now, a senior community, that they have been trying to get their permit expanded or extended. They want to add some additional services for over 5 years. And they're working with a state agency. Every time they go to the state agency, there's some other excuse for why they can't issue the permit or why they haven't finished the review yet.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, tons of issues. If we're checking them off here, sort of running through the gauntlet, the heroin epidemic has been getting worse and worse and worse. And it seems like we're starting to see more and more action at the state level to address it. Mm-hmm. What perspective do you take with that particular issue?
The heroin epidemic, it's a statewide epidemic. So I fully support the state taking action and empowering our law enforcement, our educators, and others with the tools that they need and the resources that they need to address this problem. It's all about prevention and education. I've presented at a couple of heroin forums. My first one, I'll tell you, was absolutely shocking. I guess I had this stereotypical image of what a heroin addict is, and boy, was I shocked. The young woman who was speaking at my first heroin forum was a graduate. She graduated with my son, who's 22 years old, from mm-hmm. high school. And she was an all-star athlete. She was a phenomenal hockey player, fantastic family. And it just, you know, she started out experimenting with drugs, got hooked, and it's just been a horrible battle. On the other hand, I also met a father who lost his son to a heroin overdose. And his story, again, a great, solid family. They camped together. They traveled together. He was an all-star football player from the district. And he had a shoulder injury his senior year, and he got addicted to painkillers. It's just tragic, and we need to do whatever we can to educate and prevent. And then again, on the other hand, to empower our local law enforcement.
Now, one of the pieces of legislation that Mike DeZolio has really pushed for is Brittany's Law, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Yet it's been stopped repeatedly over and over again, creating a violent offenders registry. Mm-hmm. Again, it's been making headlines in the last week because it looks like it's not going to make it to the assembly floor to be voted on once again. What's your take on how many bills go into the gauntlet and just never come out? Because it seems like that is one of the problems. There's a lot of bills introduced, but then they sit or they stall or they spin, and it doesn't seem like they go anywhere. Talk to us about that.
So first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Senator DeZolio and also to Assemblyman Brian Cole for pushing mm-hmm. that bill. It's absolutely something that needs to get adopted. And it's interesting, when you look at some of the bills that get adopted, how lame are they? I mean, there's this bit about cat decline being discussed right now. There's all kinds of things. And then you look at the ones that don't get through. They're really important things that need to be discussed. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's figuring out some way to get the Senate and the Assembly to work together, to agree to language and get the bills passed.
Now, one of the themes I'm seeing with a lot of your positions and whatnot is you like substance over the sort of maybe some of the fluff that winds up getting put out there. How frustrating is that sort of just entering the space now and seeing kind of firsthand more than before what that's like?
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
But you know what? I have always been a doer. When the SAFE Act was passed, I was a town board member. I was not the town supervisor. But the Association of Towns had called on communities across New York State to band together and to pass legislation calling on the governor to repeal the SAFE Act. Well, I wrote a resolution in the town of Canada when I presented it, and it was not accepted by the town supervisor at the time. So I came back to the next meeting, making sure that our courtroom was filled with people who also wanted the SAFE Act repealed. I presented the same resolution, and it passed unanimously. So I've always been a doer. I've always found creative ways, if necessary, to get the work of the people done.
Now, you bring up an interesting and timely point with the SAFE Act. Obviously, since the tragedy in Orlando, there has been a lot of discussion about gun laws. Do they go far enough? Do they not go far enough? You obviously are against the SAFE Act, but talk to us a little bit about what your position is on the gun control issue as a whole, since it has been a big player in New York State over the years.
Yeah, well, I definitely support the repeal of the SAFE Act. I'm a huge supporter of our Second Amendment rights. My son-in-law is in the Army. My father is Air Force vet, my father-in-law's Army vet, my nephew's in the Air Force Reserves. I support our Second Amendment rights, and I will continue to fight for those. I don't agree with the theory that let's implement more gun control because look at these shootings. I feel just the opposite. You know, what happened in Orlando, it just makes me sick. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some insane terrorist that got away with murdering people. We need to stop that, not stop law-abiding people from carrying guns.
Now, one of a lot, I mean, on that side of the on that issue in particular, you have people on each side saying that representatives are either doing too much or not enough. Now, talk to us a little bit about how you think the shortcomings as a whole. You talked a little bit about working together, but is there anything else that can be done to make our government more functional as a whole? Is it getting more people involved? Like you talk about filling a courtroom to ensure mm-hmm. that a resolution can get passed. Is it that sort of involved mentality that we need across the board?
I believe it is. I believe that helps shape the direction. Elected officials, you know, if there's enough pressure, I believe that they'll succumb to that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But as elected officials, it's our duty to be out in our districts and knowing what the people want, whether that's through the formation of citizens' advisories, through social media. We need to understand what the people want. And I could see how you can absolutely go to Albany and you could get this tunnel vision. You could get lost in Albany unless you're connected very closely to the people of your district and you're constantly out there talking to them so that your priorities stay focused. But I think in order to have significant change in the state of New York, there's one thing that we have to do, and it's get rid of Governor Cuomo.
And, okay, well, that's one segue into what I was going to ask next about the general perception of corruption in New York State. Do you think, is it the top-down kind of effect where if we have a different governor, would that kind of change the scope a little bit, or do you think ethics reforms is just sort of a talking point that'll never actually go anywhere?
No, I absolutely believe that ethics reform will go somewhere, should go somewhere, and absolutely must go somewhere. And if I'm elected, I will make sure that something is done. I think it's a top-down issue.
Yeah.
I also think with ethics reform, you know, everyone talks about corrupt politicians, throw them in jail. I agree. Strip away their pensions. I agree. But I think there's something more that we need to do. I think elected officials who don't stand by what they say, there should be some sort of recall election, some sort mm-hmm. of recall legislation that is passed so that if you're not doing your job, the citizens, the constituents have an opportunity to get you out of office.
Now, do you think term limits have anything to do with it? Are you a supporter of term limits at that level, or do you think that isn't necessarily something that would help? Because a lot of people, I think, generalize and automatically assume that if they're only spending 2 or 4 or 6 years in there, that they're going to be less corrupt or less corruptible than if they're there for a long period of time. But I feel like you're going to have that. You could have that anyway if, like you're saying, there isn't something better in place. So term limits, is that something you would support or have thought about?
Yes, it's something I've thought about. And I think at the state level and the federal level, we should consider term limits. I think that once people get into office, there's a tendency to get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be in favor of term limits. But I mean, the people have an opportunity to vote elected officials out of office. But I think what happens and why that doesn't always work is, number one, it costs a lot of money to run, especially for mm-hmm. state and federal offices. And number two, to find people who are willing to put themselves out there. And you go through a lot. You're accused of I just read something on my Facebook page where I got slammed because I was supporting a chicken barbecue and how dare me slaughter chickens for eating. And I mean, you really go through a lot.
You are under the public scrutiny and public eye. Past, current state legislators, are there any areas specifically where you feel like it could be improved, or any issues in particular that you really plan on focusing on if you are elected in November?
Well, I'd like to say that I think that Senator Nozzolio, during his term, has done an amazing job with constituent services.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked to people across this region who are so appreciative of his assistance, whether it's with helping straighten out their Social Security benefits or veterans benefits. He's done an amazing job. You don't have to be a big wig or a big business to reach out and to get his assistance. So I would definitely carry that forward. I'd like to see definitely some improvements over the unfunded mandates, reduction in property taxes. I'd say in the town of Canandaigua, we did it. Mm-hmm. We reduced the property tax rate, and I think it's possible throughout the state of New York. I think we need to look at the Medicaid spending. I think it's over $7 billion. We need to look at that program, and we need to revamp it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what has this sort of, taking a step back now, what has this process been like for you? As you've been running, it's obviously still very early, but this is something that you had to have been thinking about a while back to kind of sort of get your ducks in a row, so to speak. Talk to us about what the experience has been like thus far.
The experience has been incredible. I have met some tremendous people. And the whole, the Republican endorsement experience, that was, it was very humbling. Mm-hmm. You know, we started out, I think, with 13, maybe 11 candidates who went through the endorsement process. We all wanted the support of the Republican Party. We had over 300 people attend that meeting, plus many of them were carrying proxies for votes. So I'm very humbled, and I feel very privileged to have that support behind me.
Now, there are a couple others who are at least weighing at this point the option of primarying this fall. What is your sort of mentality moving forward? You obviously have to be actively campaigning still. What's your approach, or what's in the books next for the next couple months for you?
It's exactly what I planned before I got the endorsement. Mm-hmm. Right from day one, I've said that I would primary. So I'm moving forward with that. Just because you have the endorsement doesn't mean that you don't have the petition signed. Mm-hmm. Petitions came out last week, so I'm working on gathering several thousand signatures on petitions. Then we'll go to primary. And after petitions are submitted, I'll be working, knocking on doors, talking to as many people as I can mm-hmm. to ask for their support.
Now, that is, just quickly before we head out here, what is it? It is a very large district, a district that encompasses a lot of counties. And what is that sort of, are there any challenges just associated with, in your experience thus far, trying to reach every nook and cranny of the district?
Yeah, it's frustrating for me because I want to touch every person, and it's just not possible. But as I mentioned earlier, the district that I served when mm-hmm. I was an auditor was much larger. Yeah. So this is completely doable to me. It's mm-hmm. just not being able to touch every single person is frustrating, but I am going to do my best to knock on as many doors and get in front as many people as I can.
That's great. What is your, before we head out, I'd like to give you the chance, just a parting message to voters, to constituents here in the 54th District, your thoughts on just in general, what you want to leave them with.
I'd like to thank them for mm-hmm. their support to this point, and I'd like to ask him to continue please supporting me. Mm-hmm. Like to let him know that I have a Facebook page, and we'll have a website up soon, pamhelming.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm available by telephone for any questions, email. I would be honored to have their support and to go to the Senate and to continue fighting for upstate New York.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to stop in, and I'm sure we'll be having you on again here towards the fall, hopefully.
Okay. Thank you, Josh.
That's going to do it for us today. I'd like to thank Pam for coming on the show and wish her the best of luck with her race for the 54th Senate seat. As a reminder to our viewers, Inside the FLX airs Sundays at 7 p.m. on Time Warner Cable Channel 12. As always, the latest news, updates, and podcasts are just a click or touch away with the Finger Lakes One app, available on Apple and Android devices. For Canandaigua Town Supervisor Pam Helming, I'm Josh Durso, reminding you to join us next time on another edition of Inside the FLX.